so glad that our Father is heaven. Tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Jesus said that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I would flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song be eternity. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. We can sure tell that wasn't Judy's playing, can't we? Caught me off guard a little bit. We were practicing. Kathy's found some songs, more recorded songs, so we're going to increase our song list quite a bit, actually. And I should have tried that before I did it to realize that it was that fast. Cut that song out of there. We're not going to put that in our recording. Well, the reason for singing that was is I wanted you to hear the words, Jesus loves even me. And that's what I wanted you to hear. John Reeves, a guy who definitely does not deserve the love of God. But despite John Reeves, despite who I am, despite what I am, God still loves me. Even me. Please turn in your Bibles to the letter the apostle wrote to the Ephesians. Yesterday we had the distinct pleasure, the honor to perform and be participants of the first ceremonial marriage here at Rescue since Pastor Gene has left. And this marriage between our brother and sister, Garrett and Katie, was quite an honor. And love was, without a doubt, spoken of heavily. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ for his people. The love between man and woman. Katie was just absolutely beautiful. And Garrett, you should have heard him. When the doors opened up and he saw Katie, I was standing this far away from him and I could feel him just go, oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, it was really very pretty. In the introduction, after the formal part of it, I made this statement. I said, love is what seals a marriage. And it truly does. Love will overlook the faults of your loved ones. When you love someone, you tend to give them a little more space in their mistakes. I've had people cut me off on the freeway and I've literally blown my top in ways that I don't even want to share with you, but I have done some pretty stupid things, and those things of kind of anger for what somebody might have done to me. And yet a loved one may turn and do the same thing to me, and I'll, okay, I know, it's all right. Love overlooks the faults of our loved ones. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, we read, charity suffereth long. The word charity is the word love. And is kind. charity envieth not. I am so thankful that my friend, my best friend, a man that I have loved since high school, I love him as a brother. I love him closer than my own brothers even. I'm so thankful that he is a successful businessman, doing very well for himself. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. I don't rub in the great things that I have or the great things that the Lord has blessed me with to those who don't have it, to those around me, to those that I love. Charity is not puffed up. Look at me. See what I have. In 1 Peter 4:8, we read, and above all things, have fervent charity, fervent love, sincere love among yourselves. For charity, love shall cover a multitude of sins. True love is giving of oneself unto another, as I read in yesterday's message. And this is what I wish to bring before you this morning. My title for today's message is Eternal Love. And I wish to bring before you this message of one whose love is set as an example for us to express. An example to emulate in our own relationships. Before a star ever twinkled in the sky, a covenant was made between the great three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. An agreement, a blood pact, a committal. God the Father committed a people to His Son, a people who had nothing to offer worthy of this great gift of mercy, this great gift of grace. A people who could do nothing to earn this favoritism, this grace the Father would bestow upon them. Yet this people, like all of mankind, were dead in sin and trespasses. There was no life in them. Their sins separated them from the true and living God. Holy in every aspect of His character, so holy that He could not even look upon sin. He could not be in the presence of it. So how could this holy God spend eternity with this people that He loved, who were so full of sin that it covered them from the tops of their heads to the bottom of their feet? In the Old Testament, we read about leprosy. We read about how it wasn't just part of your body, it was your whole body. Sores from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet that oozed and stunk. We have no idea what that is like in today's world. The Lord has led us to eradicate that disease from the world today, for most parts. Might be some places over in the third world countries where it still shows its head, but for the most part we don't see it, do we? But this is a disease that covers the whole body. And that's what sin is. Sin is what we are. It's what the flesh is that we have around our bones. It's our heart that we come into this world with. How could this holy God spend eternity with this people who are so so filthy? They lay in their own blood in the field. Blood must be shed to pay that price. Hebrews 9:22 we read, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Anything that is done that is against the law of God, anything, unbelief, murder, all the list that you can put as being sin before God must be purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Full payment must be made. In Romans 6:23, we read, for the wages of sin is death. You see, the problem is, though, is our blood is unworthy, just as our works are. Not only are our works unworthy of the grace of God, our blood is unworthy with it. It's tainted. This people, so steeped in their own self-righteousness, so full of their own self-worth, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It is foolishness in the blind eyes of the natural man. This people that were given by the Father must have a Savior. They must have one who can walk perfectly in every way. One who knew no sin of his own, yet would be able to take the sins of this people upon himself and put them away with his own sacrifice, conquering the penalty of sin, the penalty of death. This chosen people, chosen from before the foundation of all creation, would have a Messiah. They will have a Savior. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. No maybes. As I said in Bible study, no ifs. It's not a possibility for waiting for you to do something to accept it. It says, he shall save his people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he says. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We who once walked according to the flesh, we now walk by faith. Faith in the Son of the living God. Faith that he chose to love us before the world was. Before anything was ever created, he wrote our names in a book. The book of life. And then he set out to save us from our just reward. Look at verses 3 through 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In something you have done? That's not what it says. No, in Christ. That's where all blessings come from. That's where all blessings are. According as he hath chosen us. Remember the book I just mentioned? According as he hath chosen us. Before in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, that we might be stand before our God in the end as holy as his Son, standing in his righteousness because we have none of our own. Isn't that amazing? Do you know we're righteous in God's eyes right now? Not tomorrow. We're not going to get any better than we are right this minute because we're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus' righteousness is perfect in all things, is it not? Our sinful selves, our leprosy was laid upon him. Eternal love is our subject. Christ agreed with God the Father, I will become a flesh, I will become their bone. I will become a man. And I will lay down my life for these ones I love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Jesus. Not accepted in anything that we can do of our own, but in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, folks. We're either in him or we're going to hell. We're going to receive our just reward. We're going to receive what we earned. The wrath of God for eternity. Thank God that he has loved some with an eternal love. You realize that when you say eternal love, everything, and I've mentioned this before, but I love to say it again and again, everything that has happened up until this very moment, right now. 9/11. The discoverers of America, Egypt, everything that has happened throughout time has been so that you and I can stand here today, this very moment, and hear the Word of God and take it upon our hearts, because He has given us the hearts to take it. Everything is for our good. Everything that's happened before us, even the things in our own lives that we count as waves, all things are for our good. And according to His good pleasure and of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace, we have forgiveness of our sins. Notice the phrase "in love." That means because of or due to. Because of His love for us, due to His love for us, we shall not be consumed. The world doesn't want to look at it that way. They want to look at it like there's something that they can do. Yeah, God loves everybody. He's just waiting for you to accept His love. That's what they say. He's waiting for you to make a decision to come down and follow Him, for you to get smart and stop doing all those things. You know, how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, my life had come to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore, and I decided, okay, I've got to start following Jesus. Now, I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm a better person now. All of a sudden, they become holier than thou. That's what a holier than thou person is, isn't it? Someone who's better than the rest. I'm not that person I used to be anymore. I'm not that person I used to be anymore either. But the flesh is still the same. I still have that. And I tell you, that time I just mentioned a minute ago about blowing up about the guy who cut me off on the freeway, that was 6 years after the Lord had called me out of darkness. Don't ever think that your flesh gets any better. My spirit is better. The Lord Jesus Christ is my spirit. But the flesh will always let you down. In love, because our Lord Jesus Christ has loved us from before the foundation of the world, because love is an act that is committed because of the love that one has for the other. Because of His love, we are not destroyed, rather we are predestined to be adopted to the children of the Most High. In Lamentations 3:22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." His love will not fail. You know, my love has failed my wife. Yeah. There's times when I fail her greatly. Thank God that she loves me enough to look past that failure 10, 20 times a day. You get what I'm saying? Love from the flesh will fail. The love of God will never fail you. That's why it's eternal. It not only started way back before anything was made, it's going to go for eternity out. He's never going to let us go. There are no empty seats in heaven. Every single one for whom He loved, He died on the cross for us. He shed His own blood. That's how strong His love was for His people. We can see just a little inkling of that love, and we try to emulate it in our own lives towards those that we love or in the flesh. But it's not as perfect as His is for us. His love for us is perfect in every way. I count on that. I trust in that. It's the only trust I have. When we think about love of the flesh for each other, and we see and we feel the failures of that love at times, and there will be. If you have a relationship, a wife or a husband, most of us here are old enough to know that those relationships can be tainted when love has failed us. When we see the love of God and what it has, what He has for us, oh, how much easier it is to say, He loved me, shouldn't I love this one who has failed also? Look at the love that He has for me when I fail Him 1,000 times a day. Eternal love will never let me go. We were predestinated, predetermined to receive His mercies, chosen for His glory. Salvation would not be salvation shall be accomplished all of Him. God the Father chose us before the world began. God the Son redeemed us as He after walking here for 33 years as a man. And God the Spirit in this very day, today, calls His people out of darkness. Through the preaching of His Word, through the preaching of the good news, the Spirit comes and gives a new heart. Just as He did with each and every one of us, a new heart that believes the Lord. A new heart that says, yes, that's right. He is God. A new heart that says, that's right. He can't make any mistakes. A new heart that says, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. It wasn't me looking for God that day. It was God drawing me into Him. Look over at Romans chapter 9, if you would. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, this is speaking of Jacob and of Esau, neither having done any good or evil, before they were ever born, our Lord had established who He would love and who He would hate. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the mother, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Aren't you glad the Lord has chosen to have compassion on someone? Does it not bring joy to our hearts to know that we will not receive what we are just reward? That He has compassion on some? He has not left all to what they deserve? So then it is not of Him that willeth. It is not our will. It is not our free, so-called free will. We are bound by our nature when we come into this world, and our nature is sin. If God had left it up to my will, I would still be out there drinking, doing all the stuff that I did, and not having a care for the Creator of this world. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. It is because of the love and the mercy of God that we are not consumed. And that love is demonstrated, published, and fulfilled in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. God has turned his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love for us is why we are not consumed. His sacrifice is why we are not consumed. His intervention, his mediatorially positioned right now on the throne of glory, is why we are not consumed. In Ephesians 2, verses 4, it reads, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, an eternal love that will last forever, his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:35 we read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? If there was anything that could separate us from the love of God, could we still call him God? No. You believe Jesus Christ to be God, then he is in ruling over everything. And his love cannot fail. That's why it's an eternal love. Forever. How can one know this great love spoken of? How can we know that this love is for them? That this love is for us? Turn over to the third chapter of John, if you would. If the Lord God has loved you from the beginning of time, before anything was, if the Lord God loves you with an eternal love and given himself for you, I tell you today, he will have you. Plain and simple. He will have all for those for whom he died. Nothing can pluck them from his Father's hand. He and his Father are one. He bought you with his own precious blood. Atonement for your sins have been made. Look at the verse 1 of this chapter 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that how the world sees as being born again? Making a decision for Christ? Exercising your free will and walking down to the front of the aisle, getting baptized, doing whatever? Is that how the world sees as being born again? I've never met anybody that was born that way, have you? Everyone that I know of has always been born of God. Our Lord puts the seed and the egg together. Oh, our scientists think they've got it all figured out. Trust me, folks. They really don't. Only the Lord knows how to do those things and do them perfectly. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. This very body that we were born with is going to remain the flesh until the Lord takes it. Marvel not. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So that election might stand, the Spirit must come and give new life. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Do you not know how to command things and make them happen? Are you not a master in Israel? And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of the heavenly things? And no man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him, and this is where I want you to catch this, folks. The question was, how can I know if this love that John just spoke of, how can I know if this eternal love that is spoken of throughout Scripture, how can I know if that's mine? I've got all these troubles in my life. I don't feel saved at times. I see my own sin. How can I know that this love that God speaks of is for me? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Do you catch that? How do I know this love that God speaks of is for me? I believe. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God when it speaks about election. I believe the Word of God when it speaks about the depravity of man. I believe God when he speaks of the irresistible calling of his grace. I believe God when he says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Perseverance of the saints. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And don't tell me you don't have it, because I know you do. I do. And I'm just a normal man. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. I'll not have that God rule over me. No. I have my own free will. Don't you dare take my free will away from me, is what my aunt said to me one day as she poked me in the chest. I didn't. And neither did God. And as far as I know, she went to the grave believing in her free will, in her decision. He that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son No, I'm sorry. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the judgment. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. There you go. That's the flesh. You can't take my free will away from me, because that's what I love. I love the fact that I'm the one who's God. I will make the decisions. I will decide when I want to follow something and when I don't. I have authority over myself, not you. They love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Why? Because the light exposes it. God says, you think all you want about what you think, you know, about your will. My will rules. Plain and simple. I rule over everything, is what the Lord says. And His light reveals that darkness in us. That darkness of our desire to rule over ourselves, to make our own destiny the way we want it to. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. When the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Father, gives you the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you will come to that light. When He shows you what it is for you to be flesh, where else is there to go? Once you realize where your flesh is taking you, you don't want to go there no more. He brings that light and shines it in your heart. How do I know if this love that God speaks of, this eternal love, is for me? I believe God. I see with eyes that He has given me now. Not with eyes that just decided to start looking, but with eyes that He has given me. I believe with faith that He has given me. Do you notice who's getting the credit for all this? If you look at anything else out there, all the other religions, you'll see where men can say, I. Sovereign grace, it's all of Him. All the glory goes to Him. You think you ever listen to somebody on the radio, and one of the guys at work was telling me about how he just could not believe there's this guy who shows up every morning at 6 a.m. on TV just before the news starts, or 5 something before the news starts, and he starts telling, I need a new Rolex watch. Send me your money. I know. I've seen him once. I don't turn into him anymore. But he came in 2 days in a row. He was on again this morning. This morning he needs a new Cadillac. How can anybody believe that stuff? It's all about I. I gave money to him. I did this. I supported that. Sovereign grace is, it's all the Lord Jesus Christ, plain and simple. How do you know if His love is for you? Do you give Him all the glory? Lord, I know. Man, I'm going to use this example again, young'un. Whack! Right down the middle of the fairway. Woo! That went 300 yards. I'm almost as good as Tiger Woods. Does John stop and say, Lord, I know that was of You. Not as much as I should. God help me to give Him all the glory. That's how I know I'm His. That's how you can know that this love that the Lord speaks of is yours. Give Him the glory in all things. Folks, in closing, we know that the love of God constraineth us. The love of God keeps us from doing things that we used to do. He who has loved us from everlasting, shall He not also keep us We know this love is ours, and by our faith in Him, we believe Him. We believe that the faith is a gift of God. We believe that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We believe His Word. And because of this wonderful gift of faith, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Stand with me if you